Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. With Trailer Talk's Frack Talk Marcellus Shale Water Project, we're exploring the impact of natural gas drilling and fracking on our water resources and the issues being debated in our neighborhoods throughout the United States and globally. We're facing a complete shift in the shale regions as the largest ever concentration of gas lies beneath our feet. Who are we and what decisions will we make? I live in the Marcellus Shale region of upstate New York in Sullivan County. We're in the heart of the battle over natural gas drilling and fracking. Hydraulic fracturing is a risky, Halliburton-designed, new method of extraction that pumps millions of gallons of toxic chemicals thousands of feet underground to extract the pockets of gas. Wherever this is happening, we're seeing polluted water, toxic fumes, spills, loss of quality of life, and even more. My Congressman Maurice Hinchey has introduced the Fracturing Responsibility and Awareness of Chemicals Act that will close the Halliburton loophole and restore the EPA's oversight of fracking. So no surprise, Karl Rove has appeared with his ties to oil and gas, pouring money and his dirty tricks into the campaign to try to defeat our long-term Representative Hinchey. This is a national issue. Do you get your water from the Colorado River? Do you live in California, Arizona, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York City? Maurice Hinchey joined me for Trailer Talk at a screening of the movie Gasland on September 5th in Calicoon, New York. I also spoke with phone bankers calling on behalf of Hinchey on October 27th in Monticello, New York. I am in Monticello, New York on Broadway. We are at a phone bank for the Democratic Party. Fill me in. Someone fill me in.
I'll fill you in because I'm waiting for a phone line to be not busy. You can see all the lights are lit. It's part of the Democratic Committee. They have made these phone banks so we can come out and call people who are registered Democrats and who have voted in the last election, the 2008 election, to get them to come out and vote for the Democratic Party. Especially, I'm here to get people to vote for Maurice Hinchey and David Sager, who really are going to protect us from the threat of high-volume hydrofracking for natural gas in the Marcellus Shale.
All right, you mentioned it. I'm speaking with Jill Wiener, and you mentioned hydrofracking. You mentioned drilling. Just on the way over, I was thinking about having the water blues, thinking about what it means to live here now on the shale, and how already in a short amount of time, which is a little over 2 years, there's a division in community that has begun. You mentioned Congressman Maurice Hinchey, who has been in office for many years, and he is now, for the first time, there is a real fight going on to keep him in office. And the reason for this is gas drilling, because he's taken such a strong stand. He's responsible for the Frack Act. So what are your thoughts with Maurice Hinchey and his opponent, Phillips?
I have actually some very strong opinions about George Phillips, because I too have had enough. I've had enough of George Phillips and his pal, Karl Rove, who has thrown $300,000 of probably corporate money, I can't imagine where else it's coming from, into a campaign against Maurice Hinchey, who for many years has been doing a fantastic job and really has the best interest of his district at heart, and that's what he works for, and a personal hero of mine. I don't understand what the appeal of George Phillips could possibly be unless you're going to take the money and run. I'm sure I have some neighbors with some warm and fuzzy Friends of Natural Gas signs that are going to vote for George Phillips and take the money and run. And when they go, they're going to leave us with a gigantic fracking mess, with dirty water that we can't drink, with an industrialized landscape, with fragmented forests, with a complete switch of industry from tourism, agriculture, and healthcare. Well, healthcare will probably stay and grow, but tourism and agriculture will be decimated. We'll be left here because we can't afford to move. If we don't lease, we're fracked. It's a problem. And I won't lease. I wouldn't care what they offered me. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it to my neighbors. I wouldn't do it to my community. I wouldn't do it to my earth. I just wouldn't do it. It's a public health threat, and I can't be responsible for the 10% chance that my neighbors are going to be killed by my actions or sickened by my actions. It's like playing roulette, and it's not a game I'm willing to play.
When I heard that Karl Rove was behind Maurice Hinchey's opponent, was funding him with hundreds of thousands of dollars and part of $300,000 that we know of at this point, and with this billionaire shadow organization, I realized how much this battle over gas is escalating. And this election is really representing that, and certainly representative, I think, of what's going on throughout the country right now.
I mean, I tend to agree with that. The Supreme Court has given free rein to corporate interests to purchase candidates in elections. I find that, I would say, to say the least, problematic in a country where it's supposed to be one vote. You know, every person has a vote, and I don't understand why corporations are now treated as people, because they're not. Jill Wiener.
Congressman Maurice Hinchey, welcome.
So what could you share with us about what needs to happen, really what's going on? You're our congressman here. We're in Calicoon, New York, with the natural gas drilling and the issues we're facing and what needs to happen at this point to really protect us from unsafe drilling.
Well, that describes it very well, the need to protect people from what is unsafe. And actually, it's even more than unsafe. It can be very tragic. It can have a very serious effect on people's health and safety and on their property. It can downgrade the quality of their property considerably. The situation has to do with the way in which they engage this frack drilling for the natural gas. Now, natural gas is, you know, very good, and if it can be obtained easily and effectively, without any injury, then it's fine. But it should not be obtained, it should not be drilled for and obtained in ways in which chemical materials are used, large quantities of these chemical materials are used, and there's no responsibility for the injection of these chemical materials, because the chemical materials, in many instances, as we know, have contaminated water supplies. There is a situation right nearby, just across the river here in Pennsylvania, where 14 water supplies were contaminated as a result of one particular fracking, and a lot of other places in other states around the country. So the situation is basically this. Here's what happened.
Yeah, what happened?
There was a lot of drilling in this country very early on, when the whole idea of drilling for oil and other materials was important. And this is a long time ago. And the drilling was engaged in ways where it can be injurious to people's private homes and their private health. So back in 1974, there was a piece of legislation passed. And then back in the 1970s, there was a growing awareness of the need to protect the environment in order to protect people's health and safety, etc. So there was this legislation that was passed, the Safe Drinking Water Act, back in 1974. And it had a requirement that said, very simple requirement, if you were going to drill and inject materials, chemical materials, into the ground, you had to be honest about what you were putting in. You had to reveal what you were injecting into the ground. That legislation passed, and it was in effect for a long time. Now, it wasn't operated completely effectively, because under a number of administrations since that period of time, there was a lot of lax operating in the context of this law. And so it was weakened, but nevertheless, it was important. And then there was a contesting operation about this in the context of a very high law, a high judicial system. And in the context of that judging, it was declared that this drilling had to be revealed about what was injected into the ground. That law then was justified, the 74 law was justified, and it was put back into effect. So shortly thereafter that, decision came sometime in the, I think about 1999, if I'm not mistaken, something around that time. Then in the previous administration, in 2004, there was an analysis of the Environmental Protection Agency. And in the context of this analysis, as a result of the pressure from Vice President Cheney, the analysis came to the conclusion that it wasn't necessary to reveal the chemicals that were injected into the ground.
So you're referring to these exemptions. And so now we have these chemicals that have not been disclosed, right?
That's right.
That are being injected into the ground. We're talking about this hydrofracturing, the fracking, and as you're talking about the disasters that are happening all over the country and even just across the river in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And speaking of that Delaware River, you were part of the designating of that river, weren't you, as one of the most endangered rivers in the country. So you are concerned because these chemicals are not being disclosed, because exemptions are being made for these oil and gas companies. Mm-hmm. So how did it become clear to take the stance that you have and are taking for the environment and to protect our communities?
Well, in 2005, as a result of that study, there was a piece of legislation that was introduced in the Congress of the United States to justify not declaring what chemicals were injected into the ground. And in the context of that legislation, I argued against it and voted against it. But nevertheless, it passed. And frankly, I was very much surprised. As people had these revelations disclosed to them about the dangers associated with this kind of drilling in the context of this huge amounts of chemical materials that are toxic and hazardous that are being injected into the ground. Well, nevertheless, this legislation passed. And the legislation passed that declared it wasn't necessary for anybody doing this drilling to reveal what they were including in the context of the drilling that they were putting into the ground.
So where do we stand right now then with Congress? Where do we stand both on the state and then also the federal?
Well, with regard to Congress, I've introduced legislation, and I'm getting more and more members of the Congress coming on to support it. This legislation would go back to the requirement that there has to be responsibility in the context of this drilling. And the drilling has to be done safely and securely, and it can't be done in a way that is going to contaminate people's water supplies or injure them in any way. Now, with regard to the state, last year I was in touch with the governor of the state.
My name is Carolyn Duke.
I don't want it to be a question of remember clean water, remember clean air. It really frightens me how fast this country is moving in the wrong direction. Every step of the way, Congressman Hinchey has been there. At times when I wasn't sure of my position, I looked to see what Congressman Hinchey was, what his position was, and I thought he has articulated exactly how I feel. He's there. He was there at the Delaware River when the Delaware River was named on the endangered species list. He was there at the Delaware Youth Center the night we showed Gasland and got up to speak. He was there at the EPA hearings in Binghamton and got up to speak. He is there always. He is there. He is there for the people of Sullivan County. He's there for the people of this district. He's concerned. He's available. He's easy to contact. He is your man. We are so blessed to have him to be here for us that that we really need to fight to keep him there and let him know how much we care. Because the alternative, I think, is really something we don't want. There seems to be this great surge of corporate America coming in. And I don't think some of us even know what's behind the candidates that are now running.
So I heard the cheers and everything that you were sharing with the audience, with all of the community members here at the Delaware Youth Center.
Yeah.
Please share with me some of that. Like, what is this fight? And what is it that we have to do to protect what we cherish, what we value, our homes, our environment?
Well, the fight has to deal with something that is critically important to all of us, the safety and security of the natural environment, air and water. And the contamination of water supplies and the contamination of air in the context of drilling in reckless ways that can be very contaminating. And they can be very contaminating because in the context of this drilling, there is an abundant use of toxic chemicals that are injected into the ground. And under the previous provisions and regulations, there is no revelation of what they are putting into the ground. And therefore, there is no oversight and there is no regulation. There is no managing of what they are doing. They do whatever they want in the context of this situation whenever they do it. And that's why we have to stop it. Now, we've been successful here in New York. We've been successful working with this governor. I sent him a letter, and in the context of that letter, I mentioned 11 critical points as to why this drilling operation, in the context of the way it would be done now and the way in which it is being done now in places like Pennsylvania and other states around the country, would be heavily damaging to the quality of life in this country, to the safety and security of people, to their health and safety, and to the loss of their homes, the loss of their lives, basically.
And livelihoods, ability to sell homes when things become dangerous,
yes.
Property values, so all of these things. So you have put in these provisions here we are. It's an election year.
Yeah, it's an election year, and this is something that is very argued about in the context of this upcoming election. But this is something that I am firmly adhered to, something that I believe completely. And I believe it because of the fact of what we were just talking about, the impact that it will have on the lives, the safety, security, the future of so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So this has to be done. We have to be successful in this. We have to get legislation passed in the Congress of the United States and signed by this president that will bring back the requirements that were set up in a very simple way back in 1974. Right. And they were set up in 1974 because of all the contamination that had been done in the context of drilling prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this safety operation, some of it, very simply, just tell us what you're doing. If you're injecting something into the ground, we want you to tell us what you're doing because we want you to be held responsible for the damage that what you are putting in the ground incurs. What it does. These are things that are very important and they have to be corrected.
Do you see New York as leading the country, that what happens here and the decisions made could critically and positively impact what happens throughout the country with natural gas drilling?
That's a very good point, yes. New York, fortunately, New York has some of the best environmental requirements and regulations, state laws, anywhere in the country, all the 50 states. So New York sets an example of that. And I know about these things because I was the chairman of the Environmental Conservation Committee in the New York State Assembly for 14 years before I was elected to the Congress in 1992.
Right.
So these are things that are very, very important. And as I mentioned, when this operation came up and when the drilling companies were getting very close to the governor of the state of New York mm-hmm. and trying to be influential with him in a variety of ways, that's when we made it clear that this is something that really had to be handled in a very safe way. And I sent that letter to him with those 11 issues, 11 points. And when that went to the governor here, the negotiations between these drillers and the state of New York seems to have stopped. Those negotiations seem not to be going on. And I think that there's a security here in the context of this present state government. We'll see what happens after this upcoming election, because this is something that we can't just take for granted. It's something that we're going to have to continue to work on very effectively and
absolutely.
Energetically.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, very energetically. And we see so many people here tonight, and Gasland, the film, has just begun, and people gathering to, I think, energize themselves and each other to learn. There's education going on, things like that. So, Congressman Hinchey, what is the closest body of water to you when you were growing up?
Well, the closest and largest and most significant body of water was the Hudson River.
Okay.
I was born on the lower west side of Manhattan, the West Village, not far from the Hudson River. Even though I was born down there, my mother's parents had a farm up in Ulster County, in the town of Saugerties.
So that began your relationship then of traveling up to the Catskills?
We spent every summer up here.
Okay.
And then when my father was drafted into the Second World War, we moved up here. My mother, myself, and my two younger brothers, we moved up here. And we've been living here ever since. And the rivers here are marvelous.
Yes.
The Hudson River is just absolutely spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been dealing with that. I set up the Hudson River Valley Greenway, the Hudson River National Heritage Area, and we're doing a number of other things in promoting and drawing attention to the history of the Hudson River itself and also the history of people who've lived in this Hudson River Valley and all of the nice, very strong, wonderful things they have done for the benefit of this country from the very beginning. So this Hudson River is marvelous. And of course, there's also the Esopus Creek and the Roundout and
there's so
Walk
many.
Hill.
The reservoirs here, the streams, the tributaries, the rivers, Beaver Kill, the Willowemock, the Delaware River, which is just behind us here. And as you talk about these other places, well, water, it's one of those things that's, of course, so essential.
Yes.
But we take it for granted, I think, so many of us here do, because it seems like we can just turn on the tap and there it is, and it should be perfect.
It should
be safe. And what about the farthest body of water you've ever traveled to?
The farthest body of water. Well, when I graduated from high school, I was 17 years old. I enlisted in the Navy. When I enlisted in the Navy, shortly thereafter, I was assigned to a destroyer, USS Marshall, DD-676 and went out across the Pacific. So that was the first time that I had some experience in seeing other things outside of this, outside of our own country. But as a member of the Congress, of course, I have a responsibility to do a lot of things. So I've seen a lot of the water close to places like Afghanistan and a whole host of other places where I've been on a number of occasions.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us about this fight living here on the Marcellus Shale and what we're facing?
All the things that we talked about, you know, are critically important. This Delaware River here is also just a marvelous,
incredible,
marvelous river. It is absolutely wonderful.
Well, and we're facing issues, aren't we, with water being extracted for gas drilling from this Delaware River. I was at that DRBC meeting that was in Trenton, New Jersey. So I think this is something that perhaps people aren't aware that this industry, this natural gas industry, is also is using millions upon millions of gallons of water for each well site and needing to extract and take water from other places.
That's right.
And of course, and then also get rid of wastewater.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So you're talking about this Delaware River, which sits just outside the windows of the trailer, being a magnificent
I love this Delaware River.
Yeah.
And I've become very acquainted with it and very close to it over the course of the last 18 years now, almost 18 years that I've been a member of the Congress, representing this district here. And the district that I represent runs along the Delaware River here just north of Pennsylvania on the northern side of this Delaware River. It's a marvelous place. I love it dearly, and I enjoy every opportunity I have to come down here and spend time in this region. The Delaware River needs to be protected. It's critically important. And the use of the Delaware River for the context of this drilling, which is going on in Pennsylvania now, and which apparently is about to start in some parts of New Jersey also. And that's just another reason why we need to get good legislation passed that is going to ensure care and responsibility on the part of these drillers, not allowing them to do it in the most reckless way, where they can cause so much harm, danger, and damage.
Well, and also I do feel that the country is looking towards New York State, what we're doing and how we're fighting, and perhaps feel that they can be heard. I mean, we're having EPA hearings coming up in the middle of the month.
Yes, the EPA has had these hearings based upon a request that I made to them. I'm a member of the Appropriations Committee down in Washington. And I'm also, as a member of the Appropriations Committee, a member of three subcommittees, Agriculture, Environment, and Defense. I asked the EPA to look into the false conclusions that were made by the EPA previously, back in 2004, and the context of the law that was passed based upon that false premise that they engaged in 2004 and then passed this law in 2005. I asked them to do an analysis of it. Well, they have now decided that they were going to do it. They did it quickly, actually, and they've held three hearings, one in Texas, one in Colorado, and one in Pennsylvania. And now they're doing the fourth one here in New York. And that one is going to be up in Binghamton in about another week and a half.
What do you hope will come from these hearings?
Well, what I hope is that there will be a driving of the truth and the facts into the minds of the people who run the Environmental Protection Agency.
Right.
They're the ones who have got to be on top of this. And they've got to be not opposing, but working with us in the context of trying to get this legislation repassed and to get security involved in the context of drilling, to make sure that whatever drilling happens, that that drilling is going to be absolutely safe and secure. It's not going to be harmful and damaging.
At what point in your life did you know that you would become such an advocate for the environment? And even with people being quite upset at times at the stance that you were taking to speak out and to protect, how did you know and what's kept you going throughout this career?
Life on this planet is determined by the quality of the environment. We are dealing with a lot of serious issues here, and we need to deal with it intelligently and effectively. And if we fail to do so, the ability of the sustenance of life on this planet is going to be in jeopardy. We're experiencing now, in the context of the increasing population on this planet, global warming. Global warming in the context of the increased use of fossil fuels and the contamination of the use of these fossil fuels. One of the things that I'm engaged in now is trying to get the secure analysis and introduction and workingness of alternative energy. We're dealing with solar energy. We set up a not-profit corporation here in this region called the Solar Energy Consortium. We have a number of companies that are engaged in solar energy activities. We have established something in the neighborhood of 600 jobs on the basis of solar energy across this 22nd Congressional District. And
which is very exciting.
Yes. And the likelihood is that we're going to that's going to continue. And in next year, our anticipation is that we're going to be able to we'll be generating 1,000 jobs in the context of solar energy here in this 22nd Congressional District that I represent. I am so happy about this. I'm so delighted about this. This is one of the best things that I've been able to do. And it's working very, very effectively. Very effectively in the context of employment, generating economic growth, stimulating the economy, and producing various kinds of materials that are likely to be very effective. One of the new manufacturers that we have is one that is manufacturing solar panels. Solar panels
here.
And
to bring more and more of that, the green collar jobs, green economy, into this state. I mean, you're talking about your district.
Yes.
And just imagine that throughout the state, across the country, and to really put our energies there.
Exactly.
In what which will ensure some sort of future for us, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something we could feel good about, and to hopefully diminish suffering that these oil and gas companies are causing.
We need alternative energy, and the best alternative energy is solar energy. The energy that comes out of the sun every day, if we were to just get a fraction of it, it would supply us with all the energy that we need on this planet. I mean, it's just there. It's there, it's easy, and we need to do it. Another one of the things that we're doing in the context of one of these many companies that we've set up here is the establishment of a new kind of battery. A battery that can absorb energy from the sun, hold on to it for a long period of time, so that it can generate the energy over that long period of time to provide for transportation, to provide for internal use in homes, things of that nature. There's a lot of things that we're doing that are going to be very, very positive and very strong. And I hope people will understand this and that they'll work with us on this.
Yes, well, that sounds amazing. Thank you so much, Congressman Hinchey.
And
you have to take a brownie.
Absolutely. There's
okay,
no question
good.
About it.
But thank you so much for sharing all of this and for all the work that you do and for fighting as hard as you do and for being here and lending your voice to all of us in this fight to make things better, also to protect what is so valuable and finite, such as our water. And as you say, our environment, and we are connected to our environment, not separate from it. And so the quality of our lives, as you say, is dependent upon the quality and the protection of this environment.
No question about it.
Thank you.
I want to thank you very much.
Thank
you for what
very welcome.
You're doing.
It's really a pleasure.
And thank you for giving me the pleasure to be with you and to talk to you about these things.
You're very welcome.
I'm taking a pizza break. I'm Adrienne Pacciano, and I decided to volunteer because I learned that the opposition to Maurice Hinchey has funneled a bunch of corporate money into the local race for his office. And I think that's disgusting. I know it happens on both sides, but I think that the American Crossroads organization really needs to keep their money out of our business. And Karl Rove, you know, who donates a lot of his money to this organization, I think that they should really stay out of our backyard, because this is our candidate, Maurice Hinchey, who's been in office since 93, really knows what this area needs, and he's doing a lot to help this area. He's securing grants and funding to help the economy here, and I think a lot of people are blaming the Democrats for all the economic woes that are happening right now because of that's who's in power at the federal level. So, of course, now all Democrats are unpopular. So they need our help, and I'm calling people to urge them to do so.
From the kitchen table, out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artel. Trailer Talk gratefully acknowledges the Park Foundation, the New York State Council on the Arts, and the Puffin Foundation for their generous support of our work. Special thanks to the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance in Narrowsburg, New York. We couldn't do this without you, and it's contributions from people like you that make this project possible. Please go to the Frack Talk section at www.trailertalk.net and talk to us. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artel. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artell. Safe travels.